It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariats, and welcome, welcome everyone to Sinner's Sunday, where the beer is cold, the ribs are hot, and all the women are pointy. This is not a corporate God provider, no. We have no glass or chrome or polished marble here, just this rickety old wooden chapel with the creaky floors and blistered paint. We don't shame, blame, or call you names. We're just here to hang around for a little while each Sunday and kick around things of a spiritual nature. I was not going to be here today, but two things happened. One, something went sideways, allowing me some extra time, and two, quite a number of you expressed your chagrin about my taking a hiatus from this gathering, so here we are again. We've covered a lot of ground here in 37 episodes from New Testament and Old, and today I thought we might look at another classic story from way back. A listener was telling me about his longtime estrangement from his brother, which is really a tragedy, but not at all uncommon. And then, last night I was at this local church carnival, one held by the corporate God providers, and I witnessed two guys I know, both longtime friends. They almost came to Fist City over something absolutely meaningless. It seems as if something is in the air. Everyone is so wound up and ready to throw down at the slightest provocation. People are ready to go to war over the smallest perceived insult, and this is not new. The very first murder was triggered by a perceived slight. This, of course, was the story of Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. Cain grew up to be a farmer, and Abel was a shepherd. When it came time for them to pay tribute to God with a sacrifice, man, they were big on the sacrifice shtick back then. Cain ponies up some veggies, and Abel offers a nice fat sheep. And God likes the sheep, Abel gave him, but wasn't all that thrilled by the vegetable matter Cain presented. So what does this teach us? Well, that God was no vegan. He liked good barbecue, same as we do. No, not necessarily so, because the Bible does not tell us what vegetables Cain offered God. Maybe it was a medley of kale, lima beans, and Brussels sprouts. In which case, God had every right to be pissed off. But maybe it was cold asparagus in a hollandaise sauce, or some broccoli smothered in cheese, or braised artichoke a la Barigoul. Those things would go perfect with a side of mutton. The fact is, there's very little detail in this story, so we have to fill in the blanks and make some assumptions as we go along. Who knows what this sacrifice jazz was all about? After all, at that time, Cain and Abel comprised exactly 50% of the world's population. Maybe God gave very specific instructions to them. Maybe he just wanted the brothers to make him a nice dinner of meat and veggies. And maybe Abel took the time to serve up a yummy mutton curry, piping hot, with a side of sog paneer. And maybe Cain just yanked a couple rutabagas out of the ground, threw them unwashed and raw on a Melmac plate. Well, God was not a 21st century parent, was he? Wasn't going to do backflips over a lackluster effort just to build Cain's self-esteem. Maybe he flipped that plate of cold rutabagas right back in Cain's face. And Cain got all colors of furious, just a five-alarm rage, and wanted to kill God, but knew God was out of his weight class, so he killed his brother instead. After a while, God's ready for another mutton dinner, and he goes looking for Abel, but just can't find him. So he asks Cain, "Hey, where's your brother?" Cain actually has the stones to answer God thusly. "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain's answer tells us everything we need to know about him. He's a liar, he's a weasel, he's a belligerent snotball, and a punk. And God's retort is fascinating. He says, "Oh yeah? Listen, Bubba, I can hear Abel's blood crying out from the earth in the field where you killed him. So from now on, the only thing you'll be able to grow is poison ivy. Get your ass out of here and spend the rest of your days wandering through the land of Nod, way, way over there, east of Eden. Man, those book and movie titles just flow from the Bible, don't they? My Brother's Keeper, East of Eden, it's amazing. Still, it wasn't a very effective curse. Cain went on to score a wife and build a city named after Enoch, his son. That set kind of a crappy precedent as far as consequences for fratricide. I think God should have at least snapped Cain's legs or knocked out a few teeth or something. But that's the way it went down. So meat and potatoes of the story aside, Cain and Abel does raise a few issues worth looking at. First, God was not a proponent of participation trophies. Many reading the story today might accuse God of bad parenting, that he should have fawned over Cain's crappy gift, same as Abel's tasty one. Well, that might be okay with toddlers, but these were grown men. And punk Cain could have easily rectified the situation. He could have gone back with a better dish and an apology. But instead, he kills his brother in cold blood. The passage says he asked Abel to take a walk with him out in the fields, maybe on the pretext of showing him his new John Deere. And out there, Cain comes from behind and smashes Abel's skull with a rock. We know so little of these two up until the murder. Was Cain that much of a psycho to kill over the trifle of a bad food review? Maybe he'd been simmering for years. Maybe baby brother Abel had always been the favorite and was spoiled rotten by mom and dad. Maybe this wasn't the first time Cain was dissed by God. Maybe once before, he brought God some fantastic veggie lasagna and God never even thanked him. Maybe Abel constantly mocked Cain for his shortcomings and farmer's outfits. And after years of simmering, Cain just snapped. A slow-mo snap, albeit, but a snap nonetheless. I wondered these same things last night at the corporate God Provider Church Carnival as I watched these two guys torque up to the edge of violence over some totally meaningless nonsense, baseball trivia. But maybe there was another long percolating conflict that just boiled over. Maybe. Probably. We're all human. We all feel anger and hatred, envy and blind rage. We are all prone to snapping, aren't we? Sometimes it's really tough to keep it together, keep a lid on it, right? Just down the road a piece at the Take No Shit Dojo, from where That Larry Show emanates, we're doing a special bonus episode on just that subject, snapping. Because in every heinous crime, there is always a line, a Rubicon that is crossed, from which there is no turning back. We'll look at some legendary snaps and try to figure out just how close you and I are to snapping ourselves. That episode will post on or before this coming Wednesday. Yes, just in time for Halloween, so don't miss it at patreon.com/thatlarryshow, which is also where you can go to support Sinners Sunday. And if you enjoy this show, pass it around to your friends. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com with your questions, requests, and mutton and veggie recipes. So what's the final takeaway on Cain and Abel? That would depend on which sibling you more resemble. If you're Abel, don't take any unplanned walks in the fields with your brother, especially if you've been at odds with one another. And if you're Cain, maybe stand in front of a mirror for a few hours to figure out who's really pissing you off. I'll see you this Tuesday for the regular show and on Patreon for that special bonus episode on snaps. God bless.